Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott, 7:05 on, March the 9th, Ash Wednesday.
And good morning.
Good morning. And we are joined, of course, by Bad Bob.
And good morning. Have a traffic alert if you are interested, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Northbound I-5 to westbound 44, when I was coming into town, that connector is closed. You have to get out at Hilltop Drive and then take the new ramp to get onto 44. So just be aware of that as the traffic picks up until they get that ramp open. Could be a bit of a bottleneck on your morning commute.
Okay.
And today it's going to be partly sunny with a high of 64. And tonight we are going to have 60%. A 60% chance of rain with lows at around 46 degrees.
And also today, speaking of beauty and freshness, is Linda.
Well, good morning again. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Now, on this day, we love this one, a baby born in Florence, Italy on this day in 1454 was destined to become one of the world's most famous explorers. You might be thinking of another name. But it's Amerigo Vespucci was a merchant and an outfitter of ships, a job that introduced him to Christopher Columbus. Their stars would cross again in 1507 when a German mapmaker honored Amerigo Vespucci by naming the new continent on his maps America. The mapmaker had not heard Columbus' discovery at the time, so Columbus got the credit for the discovery, but the discovery bore the name of Vespucci forever. In reality, Vespucci had participated in two major expeditions between the years 1499 and 1502 to the coast of South America. Then he discovered the Amazon and Plate Rivers. Vespucci thought he had discovered a new continent or a new world.
You want to consider crossing oceans in that day and age. We take our GPS and all our modern navigational stuff for granted. Crossing the ocean in a wooden ship.
These were not large wooden ships.
No.
These were smaller wooden ships. You know, that the people's teeth start falling out because of scurvy, you know. The bathing conditions were probably non-existent, and, you know, the chickens died in the second week. I mean, come on.
They grew them a little tougher back then, I think.
Well, I don't know if they grew them tougher, but, we have courageous people, but just think about it. You know, hey, we're going to go. These people actually thought if you sail far enough, you're going to fall off the edge of the world.
And also, because it's the 9th day of March, I just thought I would give you a few more historical moments that happened on this day. In 1832, Abraham Lincoln announced he would run for political office for the first time. In 1859, the National Association of Baseball Players adopted a rule that limited the size of bats to no more than 2.5 inches in diameter.
Okay.
Well, I'm not done. Tommy Dorsey recorded his hit, We'll Get It, in 1942. 1949, the first all-electric dining car was placed in service. And, of course, in 1959, we loved watching these history of the greats. Jack Parr was featured on the cover of Life magazine. He was accused of keeping the U.S. up at night.
Well, KIXE had a great series called Pioneers of Television, and one of them was Late Night TV. And, of course, Jack Parr was, you know, a huge part of that, including the time he walked off the stage and said, because his feelings had been hurt, he'd been censored. Jonathan Winters said to him finally, he says, you know, you're sitting around here complaining. You're making $10,000 a week, and there's a farmer out in Iowa that's losing his farm. He says, they don't understand. And Parr came back.
And finally, in 1986, Bill Cosby broke Liberace's longstanding record and earned the biggest box office gross in the 54-year history of Radio City Music Hall in New York City.
All right.
So there's a little bit. I only went to 1986. We still have, decades after that. But, hey, we're going to take a break. We always have our chat room open. Go to KCNR 1460. Let us know what's on your mind. Our special guest today, we're going to have Gary Cadd and Valerie Ng from Cascades. We're going to be giving some tickets away.
Yeah, we have so many guests that they're taking numbers out there right now. But don't worry, we're still going to have time to talk about a number of things. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And you can go to the chat room and listen to us streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Just go in there and says, listen, hit that one, and then you can get in the chat room with our 300. I call them our 300. It's like Leonidas and the Spartans. They come in with their shields. Valerie, good morning. Coach Bob, Indie Guy, the gang, hello. Hey, some of the things that have been happening, you know, the House panel today is, or this week is going to examine Muslim radicalization. House representatives are going to investigate that in the African, I'm sorry, in the American Muslim community. And it has sparked a little bit of an uproar that it's a probe. And it's a witch hunt akin to the 1950s anti-communist campaign. And in King, Peter King, who is a representative of New York, he's on the House Homeland Security Committee, says, I'm facing reality. My critics are not. Al-Qaeda is changing its tactics. They realize it's very difficult to attack from the outside. They're recruiting from within. Obama has said that the White House on Sunday has said that to the Muslim American leaders that they are not part of the problem, you're part of the solution in a fight against terrorism. Well, I think maybe both sides have got some points here. I think Al-Qaeda is recruiting from within. They've got to. You know, we're chasing them all over the world. We've had incidents down in Fort Hood. I mean, he was a local boy that was recruited, the major that killed all of those innocent people in that act of wanton terrorism. Allah Akbar, I think, was his words he was yelling when he went into it. He was posted online. He was, and it was, you know, those were things that are happening. And to say that there's not recruiting going on in the mosque in this country is, you know, I mean, it's naive at the best to say that. It's just naive. I mean, there's recruiting going on in jails for Al-Qaeda, for Islamic hardliners. So he wants to take a look at it. Well, what if there is something there? I think that there's enough people that are just, you know, screaming about political correctness that it's going to be, you know, it's you know, that they, oh, no, it can't be. Well, yeah, it can be. But we've got to be looking everywhere, my friends. I mean, everywhere. That guy was a major in the U.S. Army and a doctor and has been through so many evaluations and still ended up being able to shoot so many people, kill so many people, wound so many people. So are we to pass up a place? You don't think the FBI wasn't in some churches or some organizations during the 50s and 60s and 70s looking for people that were fighting against civil rights, that were that were white extremists? You don't think they're in there? I don't see people screaming about that. And the thing is that we have to protect this country. You know, nobody is saying, oh my God, the Muslims are anti-American here in the United States. I don't think anybody said that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. But you've got to look. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that, personally. Of course, that's just my opinion.
Paranoia versus prudence would be, the equation you have to work out.
You want to get upset, why don't you just, you know, if everybody wants to get upset and march and everything, why don't you march against, how come we don't have some kind of policy in Afghanistan? I could do that. Okay.
We're making it up as we go along?
Yeah, well.
That's no way to fight a war.
Yeah, tell me about it. Not that we've never done that before. Okay. It looks like the unions. Looks like Scott Walker is talking to the Democrats, and it looks like there's going to be some give on both points. One, they're not going to give about they have to pay into their retirement funds, but it looks like they are going to let some collective bargaining there. The problem is unless they come back to work, that's, you know, there's going to be laying off thousands of people here in the next month or two. The Democrats are saying, oh, this is just wrong, and Walker is saying, you know, he's still holding the line. Hey, look. And we need to get this fixed. In Idaho just voted. They passed a bill to curb union rights. The Idaho State Legislature approved a bill on Tuesday to strip public school teachers of many of their collective bargaining rights while protesters in the other states rallied against Republican efforts. The Idaho bill, which excludes issues like class size and workloads from negotiations for the state's 12,000 union teachers, was given final approval by the House and is expected to be signed by the Republican governor, Butch Otter. Now, that's a name. Butch Otter.
Well,
okay, now here's another thing. This bill also eliminates teacher tenure, limits the duration of teacher labor contracts to 1 year, and removes seniority as a factor in determining the order of layoffs. You know what? That is, I think, going to have a huge impact. We had the principal and the superintendent of a charter school, UPREP, which has done very well, very, very well. And one of the things she said is that tenure needs to be really looked at, And the fact is in New York, they're going to lay off 6,000 teachers. They have 4,000 teachers that don't even teach. They just go to schools and sit in a room and watch the computers, read the paper, read a book. They've been taken out of the classrooms for cause. And when the mayor of New York tried to say, hey, look, let's just lay these guys off first, these people off, the union said, no, you can't. So, you know, I think Idaho is taking a real close look at this, and it'd be interesting to see what happens. When we come back, we've got a number of guests here. Valerie Engmiller is coming on. We've got people from talking about Boy State. We have Gary Cadd that's going to be here. We've just got a full day. And, of course, my 300 in the chat room. What are you going to – they're on to Gaddafi, and they're fighting it out. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
1460. Yeah, we're a little flustered. We've got some music. You know, I'll tell you what. We love that. We have a new green room in the back, and there's about four people. I walked in, and some guy was on his knees just trying to get up. I'm not. I think he dropped something, and he was having a hard time. It was just funny, and I love it. I don't mean it disrespectfully, because that's me. Oh, my God. We moved stuff yesterday, and I was just, thank you for Trudy Pratt and Amy that can do work. Anyway, our guest this morning, Carl, as we know, we get flustered because we have so many things coming in and it's fast, and we want to honor our guests. And this morning we have Valerie Engmiller from Jefferson Public Radio and the Cascade Theater. We've got some great things coming up, but of course, where do we want to go first?
Well, we should probably go in chronological order.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right.
You know, it has been an insane, crazy couple of weeks at the Cascade Theater. I mean, we've had some big shows.
Johnny Lang.
Yeah, Johnny Lang was just there. Before that, Bill Cosby. Oh, my gosh.
The Aluminum Show.
The Aluminum Show was amazing. Amazing.
I heard about that on the street from strangers.
Everyone's talking about it. So the next time that we say, you just got to trust us on this one and just understand that we bring the best shows possible. And if we bring somebody you've never heard of to the Cascade Theater, check it out. Because there's a lot of people kicking themselves right now that they didn't go see the Aluminum Show, which is kind of like a cross between Blue Man Group and Cirque du Soleil. But you had to really go and, investigate it to learn about it or just trust us.
Yeah, what is Cirque du Soleil? Now most people around the world have seen it, and they're like,
But there was a time when people were like, who? What?
Yeah.
What's that? So anyway, Bonnie Raitt, we've had an amazing month, but we've got about four or five more shows before the season is over. We're putting together our next season right now, and I can't say anything, but we've got. But we're going to build on what we've done this year and make next year even better. Trust us on that. But coming up just in the next week, we've got two really amazing shows, and they are also sort of virtual, not virtual unknowns, but they're not nearly as well known as some of the acts that we've had recently. But they are going to be amazing shows. Great Big C is the first show that's coming on March 16th.
Great Big C.
That's coming up next week on the 16th. And they are a really upbeat, positive Celtic rock band out of Canada. They're huge in Canada, where they hail from, because they've got a little bit of a kind of a Scottish flavor to their music, and they use a lot of Celtic drumming in their music.
Do they play in kilts?
Well, would that get you there to the show if I said they did?
Carl.
But it would get bad Bob there.
So, okay, Celtic drumming.
They're not Celtic drummers, necessarily. They are a straight-ahead, a very upbeat, positive rock band. Four men, I think it is. They have, I was Googling them. the other day and came across so many really good, some good energy in their music. Anyway, I was really, really impressed by Great Big Sea. So that is coming up next Wednesday
evening. And people like to be impressed by, you know, show me a new band, something I'm not aware of, and let me get engrossed. And there's no better experience than sitting inside the Cascade and having the music overcome you with stuff that just completely surprises you.
Yeah, and, you know, it's their sound is really interesting because it's while it's rock and roll, they use fiddle, they use the drums that I was talking about. They like to use those kind of harmonies. We have a little bit of their music that we were just playing coming into this segment of the show, but we didn't hear much of it because we were kind of laughing over it.
We should play it on the outro. Ask you to hang over past 7:30 because we're rushing here.
Oh, and that'd be great.
I want to be able to capture what else is coming up, and then maybe a little bit what's happening locally with what hit the headlines today. You have a good insight on that.
I might. I'm not sure. But we can try. You want to listen to a little Great Big Sea?
Yeah, let's listen. Great Big Sea, March 16th at the Cascade Theater. It's not screaming your head off.
No, it's not. It's really upbeat. It's positive music. It's feel-good music. It's a great show to go to the night before St. Patrick's Day to kind of start getting you in that Cloverfield mood, if you know what I mean.
Well, also, I mean, stepping back before then, the Cloverfield feel, I like it. You have, I know we're talking about the 16th and 17th, but you also have a classical piano
actually, yeah, I can't,
experience.
You know, as the classical host, I can't believe I almost went past that. A Touch of Classical Piano is coming up this weekend. And Dwayne Hampton is a local pedagogue. He is an amazing teacher and has students all over the world who come back to town one night a year to perform classical music, all of them together in one big concert at the Cascade Theater. They've been doing it annually to raise money for the Cascade Theater. So if you enjoy classical music, enjoy and appreciate the piano, and would like to hear some great romantic favorites, Chopin, Liszt, and some Baroque as well, Bach and others, this will be a wonderful performance this weekend at the Cascade Theater. It's Saturday at 7:30, and there is an opportunity to go to a reception afterwards for an additional pretty low price ticket, I think,
well,
$5.
He is very revered, and so is his performance. And if you stick around with us after the news, Valerie Ng Miller is here, and we're going to be giving some tickets away for an upcoming performance. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go anywhere. Valerie, stay with us. We'll be right back. Carla Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:34 in the morning on March the 9th, and it's Ash Wednesday. That's what it says.
So if you see somebody walking around with a little gray thing in between their forehead and their forehead, you know what it is.
Yes. You should know what Ash Wednesday is anyway.
Thank you for not bringing me in on Fat Tuesday.
Okay.
You're a good company.
Yeah. I'm not, you know.
I'm sorry, did I just derail the entire morning?
Well, no, it's just, you know, it's okay, let me get back in character here. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. This time of the day, we want to talk about a hearty breakfast, and you can get them at Lumberjacks. They have breakfast specials Monday through Friday only now. Ham and eggs for $3.99, and I've had that, and it is a full plate of food. You talk about hash browns, two eggs, toast, it is great. Chicken fried steak, New York steak and eggs for $5.99. Great prices. It's a local restaurant owned by our neighbors here in the city of Reading. You know, it gives great quality. The people there are friendly. That's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Our guest, Valerie Ng Miller, who has just taken over this part of the show.
I haven't even had my coffee yet.
Okay, we're talking about upcoming shows, and we've promised our listeners that we're going to do some ticket giveaways, but we've got the 16th, we've talked about the big, what they're called?
Great Big Sea.
Great
is
Big
coming
Sea.
On the 16th. Of course, prior to that, this weekend, on the 12th, is the Touch of Classical Piano concert.
And then
we have a great show coming up on St. Patrick's Day. which is the American Idol Motown show. These are four American Idol finalists from, I think, season 6, 7, and 8. I mean, these are finalists that made it definitely to the top 10. Some of them have made it to the top 3. Simply none of them made it to number 1. But, you know, I've always liked the number 2s and the number 3s better than the person who finally got
same
the
here.
Prize.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. I always like a winner.
That was probably the right thing to say.
Well, anyway, but it's hard to choose after the second or the third up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, so. Yeah. So these are people who are some of the best young upcoming singers in the nation are coming. They're on tour together, four of them, two males and two females, and they're doing an all Motown show, which is great.
Wow.
I did bring a little bit of their music to share with you, but and one of them isn't a Motown song, but it's so darn good. I hope she performs it during the show, and that's Lakeisha Jones. Oh, here she comes. Here's Lakeisha.
They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
She's like channeling Shirley Bassey. Kathy, yeah.
Diamonds are forever.
Isn't she?
I've got chills because one of my favorite singers, I think top two or three for me, is Dame Shirley Bassey.
Dame Shirley Bassey. Yeah,
that
she's awesome.
Yeah, Lakeisha.
Oh, she is amazing. She has got a full figured voice,
so
let me tell you.
I will be in the house bawling my head off because when singers move me, I'm like, oh, I don't care. I love it.
Yeah, she does that when they sing in church,
experience.
Too.
Yeah.
The tears run down her
yeah.
face.
Yeah. Yeah, and Lakeisha Jones, she made it up to number three. Two or three in season, I think third in season 6. And then she is joined by Alexis Grace, who was the cutie with a little daughter, short blonde hair with a little pink streak in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does some great stuff. She sings some great Aretha Franklin.
I liked her.
Yeah.
She was good.
Yeah.
I never watched, by the way, American Idol until I got married.
Really? Well, of course, because your wife is a fabulous show woman.
Because he sleeps with the singer. What do you want? Okay, so next.
So she was from season 8.
I'm going to go get that off. I'll talk to you all later. I'll see you
breakfast
later.
On me? Yeah.
After this break.
Also.
Stacey and our 1460.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I got chased out of here. Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Valerie Miller, but this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley puts up Dish Satellite, does a great job. He does it quick, he does it professionally, and he guarantees his work. His number is 244-1988. That's 244-1988. He's moved to a new location, 1345 Liberty Street. B&T Satellite.
We have all kinds of stuff going on right now. Like we said, we've got Gary Catt, and we have some other lads in the house that we're going to introduce in a moment. But right now, we're finishing up this segment with Valerie Ing Miller, and we're going to be giving tickets away. But let's talk about, let's just cap this up.
Yeah, so the voice we heard singing the amazing music of Wilson Pickett was Michael Sarver. He was one of the idolists from season 8, along with Alexis Grace. They were both finalists that season. He is one of the American Idol finalists that's going to be here. And the fourth one, who I haven't mentioned yet, is David Hernandez, who's got an amazing gospel quality to his voice and country. He's kind of he's becoming more of a country guy. Or maybe that's Michael Sarver. I get the two of them confused. But all four of them are going to be here together on stage, all four finalists, doing an all Motown show on March 17th. So that is St. Patrick's Day
tickets
next week.
On sale at the Cascade Box Office. The number?
243. I always get this mixed up.
That's okay.
They are so close to one another, the back office and the front office.
Okay.
And I can't give office number.
But that's all right. You can always go to the box office. No.
Yeah, you can always go to the box office.
Right.
It opens at 11. 243-8877 is the number to call for tickets. Or you can go online at cascadetheater.org. So we've got a number of great shows. And we do have some tickets to give away to the American Idol show.
Okay,
which
for
is great,
people that call 605-4567, get a set of tickets for March 17th, St. Patty's Day, Cascade Theater for American Idols, and Salute to Motown.
These are not inexpensive tickets. These are like great tickets.
These are great tickets.
605-4567. I'll keep bothering you until we have somebody
first call. Caller, March 17th. That's the American Idol Motown special. Valerie, I want you to come back. We're going to talk more about what's happening at the Cascade. You should have a monthly sit down here to talk to us about, you know, we still also have some other things to discuss with you, but we're going to have to
take a break.
And you've
got to get over this fear of being on radio. and next time I'd like to talk to you. I understand there's some openings at the head up at NPR.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yes, they
we'll
do.
We'll be announcing the winner in just a moment after this break. Oh, Roberta, you won the ticket.
All right, so Roberta.
Roberta, yay! And we're going to send you to Will Call for those tickets. And you, no Val, so you can see her. This is Carla Linda Bott. Val, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you at the shows at the Cascade Theater, KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I start listening to the music that Bob's playing, and I try to figure out kind of what it is, but then I understand it about 5 seconds into the music. It is 7:47. It's on March 9th, Ash Wednesday. Okay, and our guests today on this segment are from the American Legion. We have Rick Kern. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
And Dave Cockrell.
Good morning.
Now, you're here to talk about Boy State.
Correct.
Okay. Tell us what's going on.
Well, the district is sending 10 young men to Sacramento for Boys State, and that is a program that the American Legion puts on to teach civics and how the government works. And we really look forward to doing this every year. And right now we are looking for young men, and that's primarily why we're here. If you know a young man that's interested, give us a phone call. My phone number is 275-8211, and that's pretty much my standing. Dave got more of the information on what Boy State's about.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Boy State. I mean, I've heard about Boy State my whole life.
Well, Boy State is a program the American Legion has that takes a junior from high school, and he has to be a junior because the object is for the student to come back and pass on what he's learned to the senior class. It is a good program. What I've seen, I haven't been involved that much, but I had one principal from one high school, his son went to it, and he was overblown. Our biggest problem is we have 10 seats. That counts the three counties that our district is in. And if you're looking at the high schools, we have more than 10 high schools. So how do you pick? It's not only open to high school. It's open to any junior. This could be homeschooling. It could be a church high school. It could be, how many? You got one high school.
I've got one.
I have one. He has one. I have four, and I have one seat. So how do I pick which student that can participate? And this is a program that helps the community because not only does a student win out by going this 1 week down to, where is it?
It's Sacramento State.
Sacramento State.
In Sacramento, yeah.
And for 1 week, they go down there. But it also helps the school because he learns civics. He starts out, they go together. There's about 998 seats total. And we have 10. Of these 10, they go down there. They actually walk into the stadium, or not stadium, the hall. They're actually locked in, basically, for that whole week. They start their own city. That means everything. That means the government, the fire department, sheriff, everything. They elect their own officials from the city, then they go to the county. They establish a county. From the county, they go to the state. And they actually run for governors, lieutenant governor. In fact, I had one student that I sent. He tried to run for lieutenant governor. They have to...
We don't have a lot of luck from people from our part of the state running for lieutenant governor, though.
No.
But now this essentially is they go in there and they just learn how a city works from the ground up, and then how the county works from the ground up, and then the state from
and
the ground
also,
up.
Yeah, they learn the essentials, the establishment of law. They make their own laws. They write their own constitution. They do everything that you have to do to form our kind of government.
Okay, so now you're looking for volunteers for this? Or you've got the people, you just want to talk about it?
Well, right now, any organization can help sponsor.
Okay, so you're looking for sponsors.
Sponsors.
Okay.
And
okay.
If we can, I'd like to see us get more seats. There's one district has, I think, 56 seats. out of the 998. We have 10. We have I like to see each high school, church group that has a high school,
Self-schooling.
They're eligible.
Well, now, so then if I can, they can take them from the high schools or from homeschooling or the charter schools or any of the schools, right? So
right.
But not everybody gets to come because there's, 10,000 high schools? And I don't know how many.
Yeah, that's right.
How many thousands of high schools in California, so you can't do that. So they have an arbitrary number. But you'd like to have more than 10 up here.
That's correct.
Right. Maybe if they counted salmon and trees, we'd have a bigger population base. Okay, forget salmon. How about trees, since we can't cut them? Okay.
Well, it's participation, pretty much community participation, former service personnel, even people in service clubs can get involved. And the more people that are involved, the more members we get to send down.
Okay.
And so that's what that's one of the things we're looking forward to is getting people involved in sending down these young men. Also trying to contact the young men who are in the private schools, the home schools.
Well, it sounds like you don't have any problem really finding the 10. Is that true?
Not really. Okay. That isn't really a problem
because we have so many schools to pick from.
Right.
It's the support that takes to send them down.
Right. That's the big thing is getting the community support.
So people can do donations, or they can say, how much does it cost to send one of these?
Right now it's $280 plus the transportation, and it doesn't cost the student anything because we pay for the whole thing for him to go down there, and we do it through donations that we get. It's our way as veterans to pay back the community for what they have supported us.
Uh-huh.
So. Like I said, it helps the community because you get back a student that understands government.
No, it's a great idea. I really think the idea is great. So, okay, so then the American Legion is choosing young men and women to go down to our state convention.
This is young men.
I'm sorry, young men. This is
the
boy state.
The women have another.
They have a separate one. Okay, this is boy state.
And
so selecting young men to go down there. It cost about $287 to
$280.
$280 to support each one of them.
Plus
transportation.
And we take
another $100.
Roughly. Well, right now we're trying to look into having either a charter bus to take them down. Because right now we send them Greyhound. We do not really like that idea.
Oh, why?
Why?
I'm sorry, Greyhound. Okay.
No, it's not Greyhound. It's the bus station down in Sacramento because you have to have somebody meet them at the bus station and transport them out to the college.
Because there's no transportation. You can't drive down there.
It's just Sacramento,
right? Park.
Yeah.
Yes, but you can't drive down there and park. A student can't go down there because it's a closed campus. So there's no...
Okay. All right. Well, I think all that's doable.
Yeah.
No, I think we can drum up enough support to help with that.
We hope so.
I think renting a couple of vans just to take them down there, or some people putting up some vans from a service organization, might work.
Yeah. And it's during the summer, so I think it's in June, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah.
So it's right after they get out of junior high school that this program goes on. I don't have the dates in front of me, but once they go down there, they're down there for a week, and it's pretty strenuous. There's a lot to do. This isn't only just politics they do.
Uh-huh.
There is some activities other than politics, but opportunity for a person to learn leadership. It's just a great
how to work within a system like this and really understand what's going on. Okay, so this is American Legion is supporting Boy State. They're looking for the 10 young men they're sitting down. Which is not that difficult, but they are looking for support. So give me those phone numbers again, and that people can call in and say, hey, look, I'd like to donate, or I'd like to be able to help to get them down there, something like that.
My post is 275-8211
American Legion Post.
That's
okay,
720 out in Shasta Lake City.
All right, Shasta Lake City.
Mine doesn't have it because we actually meet at the Memorial Hall.
Okay,
and if you call me, I'm so busy, I don't have.
So we'll just use the other one. So give that phone number one more
call,
time.
275-8211. And just you can call, leave a message, tell them that you need to talk to Dave or myself. And we'll leave your phone number. We'll get back to you.
Yeah. So this is Rick Kern and Dave Cockrell of the American Legion. We're talking about Boise State. Any last thoughts here on this? I think it's a great program.
James. Now, the women do have a program, but that's through the auxiliary,
mm-hmm.
and the cost for that is a lot more. So I think it's around $400 for a girl to go down there because they have to be chaperoned and other particulars. And the auxiliary would know more about that.
Well, maybe you have your auxiliary give us a call. Yeah. We'll have them on.
Yeah, when they start saying theirs up.
But sure.
I personally would really like to thank you for all of what you've done for the veterans. I see you around at various veterans affairs, and you're a great stand-up guy.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate it.
I thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, it's a if we can do that, if we can do anything to help veterans or help our community, we try to do it. We try to get out there. We don't get out as much as we used to because we're at least not to everything, but we because of everything that's going on. But you know what? I appreciate what you say. Linda and I both appreciate that. So, anyway, and thank you for everything you do. You know, people that come in, you know, this, you don't have to do this. These are things you believe in, things you want to do.
Right.
You know, this Boise State, but everything everybody does in this community, I'm just so, so proud of Redding and the North State and Anderson. I mean, Anderson Walk of Honor. I mean, everything. I'm just proud to be here from this community and that. So,
this community is very, very supportive of its veterans.
Yes, it is. And that's one of the things why I like to see this program. This is our payback to the community to show the support they give. And that's why I like this program. I think it's one of the better programs of American Legion. There's other programs out there, other veteran groups do, and at some time I would like to see us bring that forward, like mm-hmm. the AMVETS, the Korean veterans, they have programs, VFW. There's all kinds of programs for the community that are available. Just have to make the community aware of them.
Well, gentlemen, we have about 1 minute left, and we thank you so much for being on our program. For it's the voices like you, the energy like yourselves that gives that energy begets energy, and to honor our veterans. We have about 30 seconds left. Closing thoughts.
Well, just I want to thank you both for allowing us to do this, and thank the community for all the support they've given to the veterans.
Great. Okay, phone number one more time.
275-8211. Leave your name and phone number, and I will get back to you.
This is Boise State and American Legion. So thanks very much for being here, Rick Kern and Dave Cockrell. Okay, when we come back after the news, we've got a number of things going on here.
People are rolling in. I'm going to give you an update on the weather and everything else good here at KCNR 1460.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. 8:05 in the morning, it's Ash Wednesday, March the 9th. The phone lines here are 605-4567. And go to KCNR1460.com. We're streaming and we're chatting, and people are in there. And I call them my 300, but now they're arguing among themselves about what their name should be, and now I understand they're going to picket us. They're talking about picketing us out front, and they don't really have any. Well, they're. They want to picket because there's no rules about picketing, and they want to talk about that. And I thought, well, fine, we can, get the TV station here, maybe get another radio station come down and say, what are you guys picketing?
Oh, let's turn
Free Fire Media
dirt.
For, and it's because we don't have a reason, but the street was free.
Well, currently 8:05 in the morning. If you're just tuning in, good morning and welcome to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We are always stirring things up, as well as the upcoming guests that we have. But before we go there, let's talk about the weather. Today it's going to be partly sunny with a high of 64 tonight, 60% chance of rain with a low of 46. Tomorrow, well, forget about it. Just expect it's 100% chance of rain on Thursday, and the same with Thursday night. So weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Friday night, Rick Hill will be playing out there 474-5546. Put that in your cellular memory because it's great to always know. Make your reservations. It sells out fast. We'll be there Friday night. Love to see you.
Okay, before we get to our guests, I want to talk about some great people here in the city of Redding, both of whom have been on our show several times. Two from Redding have been nominated. They're in the final 20 finalists for the Citizen Service Before Self Honors Award. This is the Washington, D.C. based Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation. Now, this is Medal of Honor is not to be misconstrued as being the one that is given in for combat. And which is just the Medal of Honor. It's not really, it's not the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's the Medal of Honor. And two of the finals are right here from Reading, and Fred Salante from Missing in America Project, and Debbie Allen for the work that she has done with promoting education about children and about binge drinking under her Shelby's Rules, an alcohol poisoning education foundation named after her daughter who died tragically from this. I think, personally, Reading, you all ought to be standing up and applauding. I mean, there's only 20 finalists for this throughout the United States.
And two have been chosen
from
Reading.
And two from right here in Reading. And they're going to be announced March 22nd and honored at the March 25th National Medal of Honor Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. Nominees were selected from throughout the country. It's unexpected that two of the 20 finalists come from this town.
And also we want to congratulate Barbara Harrison. This was so wonderful. The Seroptimus of downtown Reading Monday had a luncheon, and I was there, and it was wonderful to see that she got the Ruby Award for her outstanding citizenry of all that she does to support. 28 years with Make-A-Wish. The list goes on and on and on. Congratulations. Congratulations with open heart thanks and felt here from Casey in our 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. And Bob, you have something to say?
Oh, she just defines class act, in my opinion.
We really like Barbara Harris.
Shout out to you, Bob.
Okay, now, hey, let's have some other good news. The officer that was wounded yesterday or Monday in the shootout with the bad guy has been released from the hospital. So it means he's okay. Now, also, and so, you know, hey, our thoughts and prayers still with them, and for the officer who had to defend her partner's life and did what she had to do in taking down the shooter that had already had the assailant who had already shot her partner, shot her fellow policeman, and she did what she had to do in this to prevent him from being killed and perhaps herself. So our thoughts and prayers also go out to her for the actions that she had to do. Now, you know, the guy that did it, Jose Benavides, 54, is a criminal record that dates back a couple of decades. And from assault with a deadly weapon, all types of felonies. Here's my favorite. 1996, arrested for kicking and beating his pregnant girlfriend. He was kicking her in the stomach with his steel-toed boots. Yeah. Okay. You know, the other thing is that my daughter called yesterday on the phone. She's talked about the U.S. Marshals that were in a shootout in St. Louis. One of those marshals has died. The other ones are out of danger. I just want to remind everybody, it's not just, you know, our warriors that are out in Afghanistan we don't hear enough about, in Iraq we don't hear enough about. Also, our At Thin Blue Line that's out there on the streets is also putting it on the line, too. And tragically, sometimes they die. Other times that they don't, and but they're still out there. Anyway, okay, look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Gary Cadd on. He said he's got like 12 hours of stuff
Yay,
to talk about.
Gary.
We're going to try and hold him down to maybe 15 minutes. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:14 in the morning on March the 9th. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, one of our favorite places here in the city. Joe and Shelley have a great store, been in the business 35 years. And it has the finest walk-in humidor, all the tobacco accessories you could want, but also Espresso Joe's where you get coffee and great coffee at great prices. They support our community. They support a lot of things that happen with our veterans. They are truly, truly good people, as are the people that work there. If you haven't been to Tobacco and Brew, and I can't imagine people that haven't, because they sell all types of things. They're coffee makers, espressos. They sell soft drinks. You name it, they've got it. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Gary Cadd. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning,
morning Gary.
How are you this morning? Well, listen, first of all, I'd like to remind us that back on February 25th, a Friday, Record Searchlight had a couple of articles on the front page. One of them, the top one, was that Reading home values dropped 10%, which means we're going to be having decreasing property taxes. The article right below that is Violence on the Rise. Violence on the Rise, I think, here in the last few days, we've seen that happen with a shooting, with stealing a car, with a knife stabbing. So there's three in the last just last couple of days. But the real thing that I want to get to is the priority setting workshop that the city council held last Thursday from 3 to about 5:30 there in city council chambers. And during that meeting, it was mentioned that the cuts to the city budget. We've cut actually just a little over $19 million out of Reading city budget. We've moved $7 million from other funds or departments into the general fund to prop it up. So we're actually down $26 million. Sales tax receipts for the fourth quarter of 2010, we haven't gotten those yet. The state hasn't let those figures out yet. There should be sometime this week, next week, is when we're going to get those figures, but I would imagine they're going to be down. Sales tax receipts for the first quarter of 2011, which we're in right now, are most probably going to be down. It was mentioned that if the number of city employees that we have right now was to stay the same, not change this year, the CalPERS payment that the city will pay will be $1 million more than it was last year. And then as far as health care is going up $900,000 or 10% in the coming year. This is roughly, to round it, $2 million. We're going to have to cut, the city's going to have to cut $2 million more out of the budget between now and the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. So now keep in mind that at the top police number of sworn police officers that the city of Reading had was 118. We are now down to 98. That's down 20. We're having rising crime. We've got sales tax and property tax receipts going down, which is what funds the general fund. And then we're down police officers. And keep in mind, we have a closed fire station. We have other fire stations responding to different areas. And in essence, I can't tell you whether they're actually leaving an area open when that truck leaves and goes to an adjacent area, but the coverage isn't there. We're down, I don't know, 6-8 firemen. So we definitely need to be looking at not giving increases in contracts, which the city council has done on three occasions since the first of the year.
Which ones are those?
The one of them was the REU maintenance workers. The second one, oh gosh, it's coming to mind.
They gave raises to four people.
These two were done in January, and then the four people were done in February.
Okay.
But what I'm looking at is they gave up they're going to give up their 7% employee portion of the PERS payment, but they're turning around and giving them an increase in salary to roughly make up for the difference for that. Where are the savings to where we're going to start putting more boots, policemen back on the street and open that fire station back up again? This is what we, the city, need to be talking to city council and to the city staff about what we want done with our city.
Okay, let's go.
Yes, let's go to the phones. John, you are live on the air.
Good morning, Linda. How are you this morning?
We're good. Thank you.
Carl?
We're here
to hear your booming voice this morning.
I've been following you all here in the chat room about
we're having a
parking
blast.
56 Chevys out in front, and so they can hear the music, picketing us, driving topless. You know, this whole thing.
Okay,
oh, it's going crazy in there.
Yeah, go ahead, shoot.
I have a question for Gary. Gary, at the last city council meeting, there was a vote to engage in the negotiations with Costco for purchasing that building and for turning it into a police station. Now, it's my understanding that the funds that exist within the Reading Redevelopment Agency for the purchase of this are less than $2 million, and the building is certainly going to be in that range. And the cost for the renovation of the building to bring it up to standard is much, much higher than that, and there's no money allocated for that and no place to be, for it to be found. Can you kind of enlighten us as to what the thinking is on how this can be accomplished and whether it can be accomplished? What's going on?
Okay, but before we start that, we're going to take a break because this is going to be a long answer.
Okay, I'm going to take it off the air.
Okay, did you get the whole thing there, Gary?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
thanks, John.
If there's any follow-ups, John, please call back or just go into the chat room here.
Okay.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our chat room's at KCNR1460.com. Tune in and you can join what's going on there. Plus, listen to what we're doing. Join us after these messages. CNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:23 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. And they've got six dinners for $9.99. That's right, six dinners for under $10. And we're not talking about like hamburger. We're talking baby back ribs, New York steak, tilapia. All dinners are served with your choice of French fries, rice, etc., etc. And like I said, they're under $10. Great choices. It's at 501 East Cypress. That's Lumberjack's, a local restaurant owned by our neighbors here in the city of Reading. And also the service is just, we've been there, you know, numerous times. The service is just outstanding, and the portion's plentiful. Our guest is
Gary Catt.
Good morning.
And I'm glad that, you know, maybe you can recap the question before we went to break.
Yes, I can. John Dixon was asking about the Costco project and the redevelopment agency buying Costco and then leasing it back to Costco until Costco would relocate, presumably out to Oasis Road. And he was asking that how the financing would work. John, I'm going to start off talking about the redevelopment agency, then I'll get back and I'll answer your question. Real quickly, with the governor looking at taking the redevelopment agencies, any indebtedness that a redevelopment agency has, we're going to be able to keep that money to pay that indebtedness off. And the redevelopment agency goes out and gets a bond for the amount of money, whatever the project it is that they need to that they're looking at moving forward on. So what they would do is they would go out and get a bond, and then the bond would be paid for by out of the property tax component. There's a certain percentage of our property taxes that go into the redevelopment agency, and that would go into buying and refurbishing, improving the Costco building to make it into a police station. We can do that. And if there's indebtedness there, then even the governor does do away with the redevelopment agencies, that indebtedness will still be paid. So we will keep that portion of our property taxes to pay that off instead of giving it to the governor. So actually, in a way, it's a win-win situation that this money we're going to lose. So I think that pretty much answers your question granted, there is only, I think, $2.9 million, if I recall correctly, in the Hilltop Cambi Redevelopment Agency Zone Fund. But that would that they could get a bond to take care of it and then improve it. And then we would have a police station.
Well, the question's coming in here on the chat room, so they can start a project without the funds or a vote by the citizens. Essentially, then
through the redevelopment agency,
Then let's say if it's going to take another $4 million to pass this, or to make it a whole, I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah,
$6 to $7 million. So where does that other money come from?
That would be the bond that they would set it.
Yeah, so people have to vote on that, right, or not?
No, not on that bond, not through the redevelopment agency. No.
So they're going to work it through the redevelopment. Well, who pays that bond?
The bond would be paid for by the property tax component that is directed towards the redevelopment. You see, every year,
right,
some of our property tax
right, goes to redevelopment. Okay, so if that fund goes away, like Brown wants to do,
but if there's indebtedness there, that money still comes in to pay that indebtedness.
So they want
to
do it now, so they can use. So in other words, they want to put the money up against this, get the money indebted to it, and then so it gets paid off.
The governor wouldn't take that money away from us. That money would go to pay the indebtedness. All the cities in California, or the redevelopment agency in California, are looking at doing this.
I don't think it's $25 million to retrofit, by the way.
No.
Not according to, Handsome. That doesn't mean that.
No, it is not.
To a helicopter pad and maybe a spaceport there that we can use.
And you see, another thing, too, when they do that, the front part of the front portion, I think it's 1.7 acres, is going to be sold to private enterprise. And then once they get the building going, they're not going to use the whole, the police department won't use the whole building. And it's been rumored and it's been talked about that they use it for other government.
While we're on police, by the way, one of the things we talked about is citizens helping the police or noticing things and calling in. And Linda.
Oh, boy, let's just say this quickly. Leaving the house this morning kind of wigged me out because there were two guys on bicycles, the smaller bicycles, not 10 speeds, bicycles. I'm just going to tell you on the lookout now. One, and the reason I'm saying this is because they were driving up and down the street and looking inside of cars. And it kind of, okay. So, I got it. And, so I followed them and turned around on my street and came back. And one had a backpack on and they went down to the store because I was watching them. I pulled over to the side. I called Carl and I said, I'm watching them, and I'm watching how they're driving from riding down the street, going from car to car on the street, looking in to see, what I don't know. I'm just saying that's the kind of thing that we really need citizens patrol, because I'm not allowed to do descriptions or anything like that. But there were two guys.
We called the police. Though.
Yeah.
And the police, we're going to send an officer out there.
Yeah, and you got to go to. People have to leave. They've got kids to take to school, and they've got to go to work. And it makes you feel. Yes, we have an alarm company and everything, but it still makes you feel. Ooh, and so having those patrol officers on the street is a really big. A feeling of at least if somebody saw a cop car, they knew that they know that you'd be protected somewhat.
Yeah, well, we had somewhat of a problem like that with a house break-in and a stolen car in our neighborhood, and we just got everybody up and down the neighborhood and started watching for this car, and we were able to document they were here 5 minutes ago, and the police department caught them. So, a yahoo to the police department helping out.
The thing is that we've got to help the police department.
That's exactly
we've got
right.
Shorter, we don't have as many officers on. Peter Hansen is going to be on this weekend, and Sheriff Pasinko, and these are the things they're saying, we need your help. Give us a call. You see things like this. So what you did today, Linda, was absolutely correct. Okay, we've got to take a break here. We come back. We want to talk some REU stuff, some REU questions, and also go back over the priorities of the city council. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:35 in the morning on March the 9th, Ash Wednesday. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Of course, the chat room's at KCNR1460.com, and you can listen to us. And, this love this chat room at 300 there, or whatever you all are going to call yourselves. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. They give great haircuts, DC Tim and the Man in Black. They give discounts. Let me say it again. They give discounts to veterans. It's a no-frills. You walk in there, you get a haircut, you don't get it styled. You have great entertainment just listening to them in magazines and everything. Oh, gosh. Well, it's man's last stronghold. That's what it says on the window, and I believe it. That Cypress Square Barbershop, I get my haircut there, and I just have a great time every time I go in. Okay, our guest today,
Gary Cadd. Welcome back to the program.
Hello.
And I see a list in front of you with statistics, and I think we need to get down to the numbers.
All right, what I'd like to talk about is the project priority consideration agenda that they had for the meeting last Thursday. And the council had 11 issues that they ranked, I guess you could say, because they didn't actually vote on them. They voted by numbers, number one being the high priority and number four being low priority. And number one on the list was complete streets. And by complete streets, we mean that the complete streets serve everyone, pedestrian, bicyclists, transit riders, drivers. They also take into account the needs for people with disabilities, the elderly, and children. So that was their number one ranking, and that was a good choice. Then number two was Churn Creek Road North Extension, and that was the council has expressed an interest in reevaluating its previous decision to eliminate the extension of Churn Creek Road from the city's general plan. So what this is they're just looking at putting the Churn Creek Road extension back into the general plan is what they're looking at. Then the next one was privatization of city services, and that basically is coming from the privatization committee the city held back in 2009, and at that time they privatized the Reading Convention and Visitor Center. And Councilmember Bassetti has done some additional research that the possibility of privatizing other city functions within the Department of Public Works. And so that was ranked high. And then the next one was the top four that I'm going to read off here was the Sacramento River Parkway designation. And that is... That is to get a designation from the state of California for the park for the trails that go from Turtle Bay out to the Keswick Dam.
So these are the priorities.
These are the priorities.
And we talked about it. We talked about it last week. The privatization. Okay, hop in there. But where does putting more police on the streets? Is that on there anywhere?
No, it's not.
How about opening up the fire station?
Nope, it's not there.
Okay, how about the completing the roads and having sidewalks and all that? That's really nice.
That's not there.
Well, yeah, it is. It says completing the streets.
That means completing the streets,
yeah, yeah, completing the streets and saying and putting, sidewalks in and, what else? What else does it have to do with this, all that? Here's what I don't understand. You're not going to be able to use the sidewalks unless we have, bad guys off the streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the bottom line for me.
Yeah,
and so I don't quite understand this unless it's being addressed someplace else. The priorities should be bringing business to this town, should be upping the income that comes to this town, reforming, consolidating the government, getting rid of useless jobs, and I don't understand. Are any of those in the top five?
No.
Okay.
And one of the items that I'd like to read here very quickly is was at the bottom of the list, and is team building for city council / leadership team. And to read the paragraph here, I'm going to take it by each sentence at a time. It is important for the city council to work in a collegial and collaborative manner in order to be as effective as possible. Well, we're considering now this is the city council and the leadership team, the upper staff, upper management. Collegial, according to Webster, is marked by power or authority vested equally in each other. Well, the power and authority is not vested equally between the city council and the city staff, the leadership team. Council is the power. Council is the one to give directions. City staff...
Yeah, Reagan used the collegial method, and what's style where everybody has a say in what's going on, and they can bring things up, but there still has to be a decision maker there, isn't that the city council?
And that's the city council.
Okay.
And then the next question goes on: is it important for the city council and the city's leadership team to work together? This is a true statement. The city council does not typically have the opportunity to discuss issues like this at a regular city council meeting. Why? Put it on the agenda. And then the last sentence here is to that end, the city council could consider scheduling a team building meeting with the assistance of a skilled outside facilitator. What do we need a skilled outside facilitator? And this says it's spend plus or minus $5,000. What do we need a skilled outside facilitator to come before to play nice between our council and our staff?
Well, if it's not working now, maybe that's why. Is the staff in the city council dysfunctional? That's the question.
Well, that's
I don't think they are. I don't think they're dysfunctional. I think that I think that when we make up our priorities and when the city makes up its priorities, I mean it's okay. The streets. I'm not sure how that became. And I was looking at it when it first came out. I was thinking sidewalks. I'm not sure how they got in there as being number one, but. If it takes somebody that can kind of put all this together that we don't have on the staff that we're paying millions of dollars to on our staff, hundreds of thousands, two hundreds of thousands of dollars, to put this stuff together, on the staff, and we need to bring in somebody else.
Well,
I mean,
we better take
a look at the staff again.
Well, and the thing with it is, we're sitting here talking. Linda noticed something yesterday that needed to be brought forward and called the police department. We in my neighborhood, and I don't know about other neighborhoods. I'd love to hear from other neighborhoods about what's going on around the city. But we need to have police and fire protection, they're both down. We need to find the money, and money's going the other way. We're losing money. We're not gaining money.
I know. It's not changing. Okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, our guest Gary Cadd. We're talking about the priorities of the city council. We're going to come back and talk some REU stuff, and then we got some good news for the end of the day. Carl Lindebaugh.
Looking for some fun? Join us on Friday, April 1st at 6 o'clock for our $5,000 April Fool's Slot Tournament. Low scores advance, high score and low score bonus. Just $25 to buy in. Offering a $10 optional rebuy limited to the first 200 people. This tournament will sell out fast. Buy in now at the River Club. Prize pool based on participants. For more information, log on to winriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Check us out on Facebook. The fun continues this April at Wind River Casino. It's better on the river.
Hi, I'm here with Joe Adamson, owner of Adamson's Peak Performance. Small group personal training. I'm reading it right here. Boring machines are out and toys are in.
Absolutely. This is a 30-minute intense workout for people of all ages, all fitness levels. It's fun and it's over in 30 minutes.
Come. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. We're so happy to have you with us. As we know, you have other places that you can be, and we're happy that you're with us. Definitely. 8:45 in the morning, it's going to be a beautiful day. The weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards with partly sunny day, high of 64, and 160% chance of rain tonight, and tomorrow 100% chance of rain. So we like to bring on the rain. Of course, we want our lakes to be full. And Carl, this portion of the show is brought to you by
AT&T Satellite. Doug Tooley and his guys are with Dish Satellite. Don't call the 800 number, call 244-1988. They have a new location, 1345 Liberty Street. They do the same great work. They guarantee it. We use them in our house, Dish Satellite. We're real happy with Doug Tooley, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. He's a local guy. And remember, if you call the 800 number, you're not going to get local guys. So call him at 244-1988. That's 244-1988, B&T Satellite. Our guest is Gary Cadd. We have somebody on the phone. John, obviously we've piqued you again, John.
Once again. Good morning again, folks. Gary, I was wondering if you could make comment upon the special meeting of the workshop of the City Council where they prioritized various concerns for the city for next year, and righteously so, the Reading Searchlight pointed out that the City Council chose complete streets and parks and the library and various other things over the importance of essential services like police and fire and reopening the fire station.
Hey, I said that too, John. Come on, give me a break here.
Well,
John.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
I just broke in on you. Okay.
Do you want me to continue, or
yeah,
would you like
yes.
me to wait for the break?
No. Go on. We're not.
Anyway, Gary, I'd really like your position on this and what you thought. I mean, I saw the gradiated listing of priorities, and in fact, what the Record Searchlight claimed is true. They did prioritize parks and complete streets and whatnot, and placed it above concerns for police and fire and safety.
Well, John, the thing with it was the police, fire, and safety weren't even on the list of the priority in the priority setting workshop. They were.
Isn't that incredible?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. If you recall the start of this hour when I started talking was about the property taxes down 10% and crime up. And, of course, this last 3 or 4 days has shown the crime problem. And then Linda talked about in her neighborhood, and we've had a problem in our neighborhood, and we're getting energized in our neighborhood. And we need to get 20 more boots, 40 boots, 20 people on the streets in the police department. And then we need to have more firemen and open that fire station back again. And I actually think that we probably need a neighborhood of about 26 or 27 sworn officers actually to be the size city that we are. So the citizens of the city need to call city. I hate to do this to Mr. Starman, but we need to start calling Mr. Starman's office, and we need to start having the city put prioritize on where we're going to get the money to put police and fire back on the streets. We have cuts.
If I may, though, interrupt for just a second. And I agree they need to call Mr. Starman's office, but more, they need to contact their city council, who were the ones who actually voted for these priorities.
Oh, yes. It's just like one of the council members the night you're speaking of made the statement that a handful of people come before council and speak to them, and the rest of the people that are in the community. Well, there's far more than a handful of people that come before city council and talk to them. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. Your wants and desires, if you have to, come to city council, fill out a blue card, and get up there and talk. Those people up there are no different than you and I are. We're all the 91,000.
The five or six that do come and continually speak, they've minimalized us because they say we only represent ourselves. In fact, I don't go there and speak for myself, and neither do you. We speak for our community and for the people who talk to us, and it was wrong for them to make that statement, minimalizing the four or five that come there as not being representative. Well, we're as representative as that council is.
And, John, the thing with it is, all you have to do is sit and listen to the issues that those handful, because there's more than a handful, but those handful of people that come into city council and talk to them, listen to the issues they're talking about. Are they in there asking for something for themselves? Or are they asking for something that is going to improve the community? This is a community involvement. I mean, I know when I go to city council meetings, I'm there to listen to what's going on. I know my wife at time asked me when I go out of the house, she says, are you planning on speaking tonight? And I said, no, I've looked at the agenda. I don't think so. I get home at 8, 9, 10 o'clock whenever I get home, and first thing she asked me is, how many times you talk tonight? And I said, 3. Well, I mean, it's when the issues come up and
Gary,
something's got to be said.
I'm in the same position. I go there and people ask me ahead of time, even in the chat room here, are you going to speak at city council tonight? And I say, I don't know, because I really don't. Unless something moves me that way, I'm not going to. I very rarely go there with a predetermined agenda.
Okay, gents, I have a predetermined agenda.
I know you do.
And we have to take a break. Yeah, we have to take a break here and pay
John,
the bills.
We always
so you can.
All,
so you have a voice
you know,
here, and everybody has a voice.
Thank God there's people who have passion and that care and show up.
And by the way, my friends and everybody that's listening to this, I mean, our sponsors that bring us, bring you our show and this station. Local guys, local yes. girls, local businesses. You know, we need to go out there, and when you go there, and you need to support them, you need to spend $50 there instead of at a big box store, and go in there and just tell them you hear it on the show.
And
here.
Thank you,
and
thank you,
and thank you all for listening to us. Okay, we got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
No, I won't back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindebot, our last segment here. You know, there's a reason we have that song.
And they're not backing down in Wisconsin.
They're not backing down. They're not
backing down here.
And we're not backing down. And the 300 are not backing down either. I'm proud of you guys. Okay, Gary, I'd like to say goodbye and thank you so much as usual.
Thank you, and we'll, I guess, see you next Wednesday.
Yes.
Next Wednesday after the city council.
Keep us abreast of what happens.
That's right.
Thank you, Gary Katz.
And it's always good to have Gary and other people in here that go to the city council meetings. We try to get to them also. We work on our schedule, but having Gary here all the time is a big benefit. All right.
Well, you know, we try to cover the gamut, Carl and I. What's going on in the community and what's happening in the arts, what's going on with city council, what's going on with articles that have been written, what's coming into the website for us. Bye, Gary, thanks. And recently there were three letters that came out in the Searchlight that were actually in today's Searchlight, letters to the editor. And all three complained about the positive things that are going on with the Science Bowl, Club Cougar. Why aren't there pictures and positive reinforcement covering about things that are going on with our children and our parents that support our children here in the community? So Carl and I read this, and we want to make a pledge, and we need your help. We would like to start a teen moment where somebody who is in school, and maybe you have some names, send them our way so that we can have somebody that represents the youth in our community that covers these things, that comes on the air and talks about okay, at this high school, at this grade school, went to this event, went to that event. I mean, we have kids that come on and sing and talk about their plays, but I'm talking about somebody who covers it and has an actual spot. We would like to be able to help somebody grow in the field of radio. They can use it as a credit. They can write reports. But that they're really covering what's going on in the North State with our youth. Because this is something that's very empowering to our community. We need to hear the good stuff, too.
Yeah, we'd want to have them. We'll give them a segment once a week so they can talk about things that are going on in the high schools and that community there like that. I mean, it needs something like that. So we can do that every Friday, and they can talk about what's going on. And that way they've had that week and say, hey, you know, this weekend Club Cougar's doing this. Or, hey, the football game, you know, they can talk football, they can talk. But anyway, it'll be like a 15 or 20-minute segment that they can just talk about what's going on. But we need a volunteer for this. We need somebody that wants to come in here and do this. We'll help them tremendously as much as we can to help them put the show together.
And those those letters to the Record Searchlight today are what motivated Carl and I. And I know, Bob, you have Boomer Tech, and I'm sure you excelled in science, and there's the science bowl. I mean, that's fascinating.
My report card didn't reflect that.
Well, you know, but it's something that you probably have used in your later life.
Absolutely.
But the Science Bowl, how fascinating to have kids on that. I remember neighbors across from me in Sacramento that were very involved in the Science Bowl, and they also traveled to Washington, D.C., and they went, obviously, in the national competition of it. And
well, that's it. You know, they had this Science Bowl, and the Enterprise High School Team 1 came out as a winner. And what did they win? And I'm taking this right out of the letter from Brian Martin. Is an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. to compete in the Nationals.
Oh, yeah.
This is a huge thing.
It's huge.
For us. And then, you know, and then Club Cougar, and talking about a wonderful evening. The jazz band was superb. The dancers were fabulous. Linda Reed. Well, you know, a lot of times we don't hear about these things, and maybe we should.
And this
is our future we're talking
about. Exactly.
These
are future leaders of our country, of our world. We need to empower them and give them a voice.
That's right. And we want to do that. So we're going to be talking to some people. I know there's people out there that there's young adults that would be great at this, and we can, you know, get them in here on Fridays or whenever we set this thing up so they could talk about it.
Well, I was going to say, you know, broadcast media made me the person I am today, but maybe that's not the best example we can throw out, but, you know.
I love it. Gator, building better young cowboys and cowgirls. Yeah.
Gator, okay. There's a lot of other things going on that are, you know, this week we're going to have I'm just sitting here laughing because, you know, Linda is so fired up about this, about what's going on with the, you know, with the students, and we are too, you know, that wanting to do that, to try again is to, you know, everything's based on our youth. And so being able to bring them on is going to be big.
And better yet, be a good citizen, watch your neighbor, because I was really wigged out this morning leaving and feeling like, I felt like my house was being cased, and I'm not sure, maybe I was paranoid, I'm not sure, but this is where you need to really think about that, being a good neighbor, watching your neighbor's back, and making sure things are secure. It's just a weird time.
Well, you know, tomorrow we're going to have Chief Peter Hansen on. I think it's really, you know, how appropriate,
yes,
to have the chief on now after what happened Monday, and to talk about, a lot of people are talking about, things are happening in crime, and you know, it's time. You know, we'll talk about this with the chief. So, okay, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Thanks for joining us today, chat room. You guys were really rocking on this. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your year?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.